Hi there. I'm Alex Logan, the editor for the All the King's Men trilogy, and I'm sitting here with the author, Margaret Mallory, who we call affectionately Peggy, and we're going to talk a bit about the books. So Peggy is our only medieval romance author. So what attracted you to the medieval period?
Well, I ended up in the medieval period going backwards. I had a story first. And the story in my head involved castles and knights. So I knew I was in the medieval period generally. But to find my specific time period, I researched about 300 years worth. And I was looking for a time period where there were big issues with conflicts of loyalty, because I wanted loyalty and honor as a theme. And I also wanted an exciting period where a lot was going on. So with my first book, I picked the time period when Henry V was still Prince Harry, and it was the time of the Great Welsh Rebellion, so that I had a rebellion going. I also had a king who had usurped the throne of England. So, and there were rebels all over the place, plots, conflicts. So it was as a writer, it was a really fun period. There was a lot going on to work my story against.
So that first book is called Knight of Desire. And who is our hero and heroine of Knight of Desire?
Well, the hero is William Fitzalan. And he's a real alpha warrior type. He's the illegitimate son of a famous person of the time that I'm not going to reveal now. And his mother kind of gave him up early and sent him to his father's to live. And he felt abandoned by her. And so he's got lots of issues with trust. He's fought his way kind of up the line so that now he's a commander at the start of the story. But he had to, you know, work his way up, and he's pretty tough. And then my heroine is Catherine, whose first husband turned out to be a traitor. And she acted as a spy for Prince Harry, who is a childhood friend of hers, and risked her life sending messages to him about her husband meeting with the Welsh rebels and other rebels. They were both English and Welsh rebels at the time. And at the beginning of the story, she's waiting to find out what happened if he got caught based on messages that she sent to the prince. And so she doesn't know what happens next in her life, if he's going to come back, and he's always been violent, whether he's going to murder her this time or whether she's going to finally be free of him. And it turns out that that William shows up as the warrior who prevailed in that battle, and he's been given her castle and the lady that goes with it if he wants her.
Well, it sounds intriguing, but I know that the first question that other people would have liked me to ask is the close of the period. So what can you tell us about fashion in the medieval times?
Okay. Well, first I'll mention that the men's fashion is a real challenge as a romance writer. You kind of want to keep them in their armor or naked, because the men's clothes that they wear to court seem a bit prissy by modern day standards. They wear like pointed shoes and hose that are like one leg one color and one leg the other color. Pretty flamboyant, but it makes it fun for describing the villains or secondary characters that you want to make amusing. And I do tone it down for the hero so that his clothes aren't as garish as men often wore at the time. And as for the women, the biggest challenge with the women for me is that I think hair is a real sensual part of a woman's appearance, and they had it covered once they were married. And so I'm dealing with widows here, and so I can't have their hair show until they're in the bedroom. And that presents a real problem for me, because I would much rather have their hair down.
So despite all the challenges, though, your books actually turn out to be very sexy. And what can you tell us about the sexual mores of the medieval period?
The biggest issue for me in terms of the sexual mores is really the practice of marrying off young girls to middle-aged men. That's very hard for me. And also having 14-year-olds get married at all. And, you know, I avoid that generally by picking up at the woman's second marriage. And it's very common if you look at the genealogy of some of the royalty, important people from the time, that they might have several. You know, people died of this and that. And so it was quite common for them, either the man or the woman, to have two, three, sometimes four spouses over the course of their lifetime. So it's not an unrealistic thing to do. And I like to have them be full adults for me to enjoy writing a love story about them.
Well, like me, you must like the reunited love story, because in your second book, Night of Pleasure, we're also looking at a woman's second chance. So what can you tell us about the hero and heroine of Night of Pleasure?
Well, the hero is Stephen Carlton, who is the younger half-brother of my first hero, William. And he's a very charming guy, handsome, charming, auburn hair, draws people to him, particularly women, like flies. He's exactly the kind of guy that I avoided like the plague in my dating days. But Stephen, underneath it all, is a very honorable man who wants a long-term love relationship like his older brother. And Isabel has had a hard time up to the beginning of the story. Her father, who she adored, married her off at a young age to a pretty awful older man. And then when this husband finally dies and she's supposed to inherit his lands, they get stolen out from under her. So she finds herself in a tight spot with bad choices and agrees to go to Normandy to make a political marriage on the king's behalf. That seemed like the best of the bad choices that she faced. So she shows up in Normandy, which is where Stephen is with the king's army. At this time, King Henry is in Normandy with his army, retaking lands that used to belong to England.
So interestingly enough, in Book 3, Night of Passion, we have reunited lovers again, but this time they're actually quite young. So what can you tell us about writing that book?
Well, this was a fun book for me, in part because Jamie, the hero, has been in both my prior books. He's the son of my first heroine. So he was a toddler in the first book, and he's a teenager in the second book. And then in the third book, he finally comes into his own. And he's a fun hero for me in that way. And he's a good guy. He's tries to do right, do the honorable thing. He's been fighting in France, making a name for himself. He's back in England from France and runs into Lynette, who also was in my second book. And they had an affair when they were young, when she was like 16 and he was 19. And she was pretty heartless to him at the time because she was set on punishing her father and seeking revenge for bad things that happened to her family in the past. And he got a broken heart kind of incidentally. It wasn't intentional on her part, but she kind of stomped all over him in her in her youth. And now they're reunited in London. And Lynette had an unusual upbringing. Her father, her real father, was a French nobleman who did not claim her until she was about 15, 16 years old. And she was raised by her grandfather, who was a wealthy merchant. So she really has a different mindset than nobles of the time. She's from the merchant class, even though through her father, she does join the nobility.
Well, I think we should stop right there because that's enough to keep readers intrigued without giving away too much of the plot. So listeners can get more information about all three of your books at the Hachette Book Group website. And do you have a website of your own?
Absolutely. My website is www.margaretmallory.com. And I've got some pictures of castles that are my books on there and some other tidbits that I think readers will enjoy.
Great. And thanks for this behind-the-scenes look at your books.
Thanks, Alex.